انت so far I'm not showing anybody else.
Let's go ahead and give it a couple minutes.
Well, here we got, okay, we've got a couple.
We're live.
Good morning. Today is June 16, 2022. This is the matter of the application Z0162-22-C. This is an application for a conditional use permit by Grandview Baptist Church, or for that church. The applicant is Pastor Mike Mutchler, who is present this morning. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as land use hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. I have considered issues of bias and conflict of interest and have determined that I do not have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. Further, I have not received any ex parte contact, which means that no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or any issue present in this hearing. I will make a couple of other statements. I'll note that the county is recording this hearing and that recording is available through the county. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statement or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. Now, I did receive a packet of information that was posted online as exhibits together with a number of exhibits associated with that, with the hearing notice. At this time, I'm going to ask the county to provide an explanation concerning participation via Zoom, the Zoom platform, and I'll also ask that we look to appropriately naming our participants. I have two Mike Mutchlers, and I'm pretty sure only one should have that name on their screen. Okay, so please proceed with the explanation of the
Zoom. Okay, let me go through my spiel. First of all, I'm in a new place and I'm still looking for the sweet spot as far as lighting. It's not really pitch dark in here. I'm sorry, it's the best I can do right now. But let me go through this spiel here. This public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. That's Darcy. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings office will make it clear when this is. And if you'd like to provide testimony, please utilize the raise hand feature. For those of you actually, this is the same on Apple products. There's a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, top or bottom, depending on what device you have. Or just make noise, raise your hand, something. There's not that many of us here. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a bit. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin so that we can send you a copy of the decision. Once you've provided your testimony, your microphone will be muted. Your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you can email or mail that testimony to me And I'm going to put up a slide at the end of the meeting with my contact info, address, and email and whatnot. And testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would still like to receive a copy of the decision, just send me some kind of contact information and we will be happy to provide that. And that is the Zoom script, which we're required to read. Now, are we okay with the two Mike Mutchlers as panelists? Do we need to clarify that?
Okay, so I am here sitting next to Mike Mutchler. I'm on staff here at the church. We only had one link, so I'm using the same link.
Okay, and just FYI on that, because you're so close, we're getting feedback. But
would you
still hear you?
You prefer us to be on one?
Can one of you talk again? I just wanted to make sure I can hear you.
You prefer us to be on one feed, or do you want us to separate into two different rooms?
What does the hearings officer think? Are they? Can you hear them?
Okay, I can hear it. If it becomes distracting, we'll deal with it.
Okay, that's fine. All right, back to the hearings officer.
Well, your name for the record.
Exactly. Who is not Mike Mutchler, and who are you?
I am not Mike Mutchler. My name is Jeremy Malucci.
Jeremy, I can spell without help, but I'm going to need some help with the last name.
N-A-U?
N-A-U.
M as in Mike.
Two M's?
No. N-A-U-L-U-C-C-I.
I'm not going to be able to get that. The spelling is pretty hard to hear with the echo. Can you shoot us an email or some kind of, or do you have a name you can hold up?
You can put it in chat.
So you should be able to see it on the screen.
Oh,
okay. I'm in a different spot now.
I have it now. Thank you, Dorothy. Problem solved. And your staff at church is good.
Jeremy is our administrative pastor, so he deals with all the finances and projects. That's why he's on. Pastor.
Okay. Thank you both. All right. Are we prepared to begin? Perfect. I'm going to ask that the county present the staff report, and then we'll move to the applicant.
Okay, a couple of items. First, we've got new evidence that has come in, marked as exhibits 6, 7, and 8, which the hearings officer has not seen yet. The hearings officer will get that after the close of this meeting. There's also going to be someone submitting a PowerPoint presentation, which Darcy will allow that when that time comes. Also, there's a couple of corrections in the staff report on page 21. I'll kind of highlight those later, but it was a couple of cut and paste errors. I was working on more than one staff report at a time, which is usually the case, and I included information from a different application in the staff report for this one. That has been corrected. The hearings officer has not seen that yet because I just did it yesterday. Hearings officer will certainly get the new and improved staff report.
Perfect.
So with that, that staff report's got to be 25 pages long. I can be a little wordy, and I'm certainly not going to read through it page by page. I think everybody here has had access to it for quite some time. If you have any questions when it's your turn to testify, please ask. But I'm going to blow through this pretty quick on the assumption that everybody knows why we're here generally. So, Darcy, is my PowerPoint up now? Hang on a minute. Hang on. Oh. Why do I have so many windows open?
I have your PowerPoint as Exhibit 6.
Yeah, I've got it. It's on my screen. I'm just trying to Zoom, share, show all windows. There we go. Got it. All right. Thanks for your patience. So, this is file Z0162-22-C. It is a conditional use application. Today is today, and it's 9:30 a.m. As I say, I'm going to go through this really quick, so ask questions later if you have any. Generally speaking, this application involves a proposed addition at Grandview Baptist Church. I think we all know where that is, Leland Road and the highway there. The new building is described as a gymnasium with locker rooms, children's play area, kitchen, office space, and educational space. Described as being meant for use by members and guests of Grandview, their Christian school sports program, the gym is also planned to be available for use by the local community. The educational space would be used for Sunday school and Wednesday night teen and children's program, as well as school classrooms. The property is about 16 and a half acres in size, give or take. There was some a little bit of confusion on this early on in the process due to which map you look at, you get a different size for this property. It is approximately 16.6 acres in size, located at the intersection of Leland Road and Highway 213, south of town here. This is the site of Grandview Baptist Church and School. It's been there for quite a while. Zone designation there, is FF10, Farm Forest 10 acres. The school and church that are there now were originally approved through conditional use as provided for in that underlying zone. Area land use, generally rural residential and acreage properties. There's scattered small properties or some small farms. Stone Creek Golf Course is on the other side of 213 west and north of the subject. I've got a map here. Here's our subject property. This is sunny downtown Beaver Creek right here. You can just see the edge of the golf course property here just to give you a little context. This is what it looks like from the sky. Here's Leland Road, 213. We zoom in on that a little bit. Here's the row of buses, which are hopefully getting much more use now than they did over the last couple of years. And this was submitted by the applicant. This is the addition proposed approximately at this location of the development. Some nice building elevations were also submitted. All right, so this is a conditional use. There's a variety of code sections that apply. The main one, kind of the umbrella code section, is section 1203, conditional use of the Clackamas County Zoning Development Code. Section 1203 gets you to all the other code sections that apply, which in this case are many. Through the staff report, I addressed all of these code sections, made findings and conclusions on each. Section 1203 itself includes five criteria, all of which must be met in order for this to be approved. If even one is not met, it must be denied. I'm going to go through these five criteria very quickly, and let's see what happens. So the first criteria, the applicant needs to show that the use is listed as a conditional use in the underlying zone. In this case, it's FF10. The FF10 zone does provide for places of worship and schools, both, along with uses typically accessory to those primary uses, as you know, through the conditional use process. This proposal involves that, involves addition to an existing place of worship and school. Second criteria needs to be shown that the site itself is suitable for the proposed use, considering a variety of dimensional standards, locational features, that kind of thing. This property has hosted a place of worship and school for a very long time. And simply because of that, I think it shows itself as being suitable. The main interesting features here, to me anyway, just as someone who goes up and down the highway there, is its location. But I was able to make positive findings against that one. The second criterion is met. Third criterion needs to be shown that the proposed development is consistent with subsection 10707 and safety of the transportation system. Basically, this is a concurrency requirement. It needs to be shown that the existing transportation network or the existing network has improved through this development has capacity to support this proposal, the potential additional traffic, and can do so in a safe manner. For this application, as with all conditional use applications, I solicited comments from our own transportation engineering department, the traffic people. And in this case, since it's long ODOT system, I also asked for comments from ODOT, received comments from the county department. We had discussion with ODOT at the earlier pre-application meeting on this. I was able to make positive findings on that. Fourth criterion, number D, this is usually the one that brings out the most interest. The proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of surrounding properties for the primary uses allowed in the underlying zone. This is where you basically have to show that you're not going to, that your proposal, if approved, will not have such deleterious impact on what's allowed outright that it would keep those uses from happening. The key word here is substantially limits or impairs. Is any new use, if you put a new house out there, it will have impact somehow. It needs to be shown that this will not substantially interfere with allowed uses, which in this underlying zone are rural, residential, and farm and forest. Made findings against that and was able to go thumbs up. Whoops, excuse me. Next criteria, needs to be shown that the proposal satisfies the goals and policies of the comprehensive plans applicable to the use. The applicant was pretty skimpy on this. I went on ahead and added some findings of my own and was able to reach thumbs up for this criterion. Final one is the use needs to comply with any applicable requirements of the underlying zone, that's FF10 here, any overlay zoning districts, of which there are none, and any 800 and section 1000 criteria that apply, of which there are many. And the staff report goes into detail on those. Section 800, there are schools and place of worship criteria also need to be met. And I went through the staff report on those and was able to find in favor of those. Basically, in 25 pages, or in this brief summary I just went through, staff's recommending approval of this. And I'm glad we have people here this morning to discuss, because I don't live there. And I think we have some neighbors who actually have some very specific comments to make. Also, I'll point out, we did receive comments from the local community planning organization out there, the Beaver Creek Hamlet folks. They, through a mixed vote, recommend approval of this addition. We can go through their comments in more detail if you'd like. And with that, it's possible that I am finished babbling for now, but am happy to answer questions as they come up.
Before we move on, I just want to clarify, the staff recommendation is approval subject to conditions.
Correct.
Did the applicant have an opportunity to review the county, the proposed conditions of approval submitted with the staff report by staff?
Yes, I read through all of it when I received it. It's pretty standard. It just, you know, all of those things we're in the process of doing, whether it's civil engineering or architect, and they know the codes of the county. So we'll make sure that everything is just like it's supposed to be.
Okay. So there's no,
we have no problem with it.
There's an, okay. Thank you. Let me just make a note, please. Okay.
And just as a note, we do have a representative in the house this morning from sustainability. Okay. So if there's any questions about that or about the, you know, the condition that I added in there, any of the findings, if we could get to that now, so Tennille doesn't have to stay here all morning.
Perfect. All right. Is it Ms. Becetta?
Becetta, yes.
Becetta, thank you.
Basically, as noted in the conditions with these additional proposals, there may be an increase to garbage and recycling. And so my role primarily in this is just to make sure that that's not forgotten about.
Yes, yes.
We realize you already have garbage service there, but this may exceed the capacity of that one enclosure. So I would just ask that you guys work with me to kind of work with the collector and talk through what the additional generation would be and if another enclosure would be needed on the side of the property where the addition is. So just making note that I'm here, and if you have any specific questions, happy to answer
them. Yes, I'd be glad to do that. We have one dumpster for recycling and one for just trash. And it may be that we need one on the other side there. Oregon City Garbage handles that. Yeah, whatever you propose, that's what we'll do.
Okay. And I'll just make one note that if the kitchen is planning on using grease and we'll have grease waste, that's an additional piece that we'll want to talk about.
Yes, grease traps and all of those things. Yes.
All right. I saw a condition of approval related to this issue.
Yes.
And, or at least one. And so that will be addressed through that approval process. All right. Thank you. And nice to meet you.
You as well.
All right. Back to the applicant. Does the applicant have something they would like to add to their application, to their proposal or a description of it?
Okay. Of course, we're in Beaver Creek, just on the fringe. Actually, the north part of our property has an Oregon City address, but we have about 200 families on our mailing list, active mailing list in Beaver Creek. So we're very familiar with that. A lot of our staff live in Beaver Creek. But people come from all over because we have access to 205 and 213, which means people can get very quickly to our facility. We've also had a good relationship with the representatives of our area. Mark Meeks is a personal friend of mine, and so is Christine Drazen. They're on the opposite ends of what they stand for, but they're both personal friends, and I care deeply for both of them and respect them as individuals. We are in a rural location. Beaver Creek's a hamlet. We've been here since 1993. And so we started with one church. We had no idea how we would grow. I thought that one building would be big enough forever. But, you know, as God blesses, more and more people come. And so we have enjoyed consistent growth all these years. And so this building, though, will take us for a long time into the future. As far as I'm thinking, we'll not need to build for a long time. This building will supply a lot of needs. We have a Christian school and have had before we actually came on this property, but we've never had a gym. We've never played a home game, and we're active in the sports program throughout Portland with Christian schools, soccer and basketball and track. But we've not been able to do anything here. So we're hoping to build a gym that parents could actually come and watch their kids on site play a basketball game or volleyball game. It's been a great need, but we've just... The resources for it has been out of our reach until just the last year or two. Things have turned around, and we see that more of our people are willing to give to that. So we're hoping to build it and pay for it as we go and try to finish it in a year or two.
All right. Well, thank you.
Pastor Mutchler, you read the staff report. You saw the conditions. I promised ODOT I would protect them. There's a question there regarding
that. And we have no problem with that. The church doesn't use that. I just thought we would put a gate there in case a fire truck needed to come in. So it was only for an emergency exit. You know, I know earlier last year we had the fire, or was that year before last, I guess. Time flies. And some people were concerned because the whole area was evacuated. And if a fire came into this area where the Christmas trees are, people might have to go out all the exits. So it was only to be used as an emergency exit. Otherwise, it would be gated. That house is one of our associate pastors lives on that house. So he wouldn't want the church using it either.
And that's in Pastor Mutchler has been talking about this driveway here.
Yes.
This is for emergency use only. It was always intended that way, as well as for the house. But through earlier approvals and through this process, that'll be required to be emergency access only. And that's all it's used
yes.
for anyway.
And so, there is a gate right at the end where that white white truck is parked. There's a gate right there and there's a gate right here. So it's gated twice to get there already.
Okay.
And that you're referring to the written approval from the Clackamas Fire Department or Clackamas Fire District number one, excuse me, Fire Marshal, concerning that access, or which condition of approval are you referencing?
Well, the fire department is what we would go on, what they wanted. They wanted it only, well, not only only because it's not 600 feet from the intersection, so it's not possible to make that entryway into the church.
Okay.
So we can't do that even if we wanted to. We have to follow the codes.
Okay. Yeah, and this is for the hearings officer. This is on the staff report. It's on page 10.
3G.
G. Yeah, and that comes from ODOT. Yeah. The fire district wants that to remain for emergency access, and Pastor Mutchler explains, you know.
And right next to that road is a fire hydrant, so that's why they might want to come in there with a truck and connect to the fire hydrant.
Right.
There's two or three fire hydrants available.
Okay, so the conditions of approval that I'm looking at that are proposed here, 3G concerns the driveway onto Highway 213, which ODOT is requiring shall be gated and limited to emergency vehicle use only. And then it kind of works in tandem with 4A, which is written approval from Clackamas Fire Department District Fire Marshal for the planned access, correct? Okay, I understand how that works then. Thank you. Did you have something further to add as the applicant, or is this the time for the general public?
Just that we have always tried to be a good neighbor all these years. And we are hoping to use that gym also as an open availability to the community at least one night a week. There's not anything like that in any of the schools that I'm aware of. And I think our area, teenagers and juveniles would enjoy a place college age, would enjoy coming and playing one night a week. And we'll just open in the facilities for them to do so.
Terrific. Thank you. Are there members of the general public who are present who wish to provide testimony or input or evidence to consider in this application? Use the raise hand feature.
First up, I have somebody who is just named Neighbor.
Okay.
We will need your name and address for the record, please.
Let's give them a moment. They'll need to unmute their mic.
Got it. Sorry. I wanted to change the neighbor thing after you started, but I wasn't able to. So I'm Robert Locke. I live at 22210 South Leslie Avenue, which is right down the hill from the intersection there. Anything else that you need to know?
Sure. The spelling of your last name.
L-O-C-K-E.
O-C-K-E. Okay. There's an L, L-O-C-K-E? Yep.
Yes,
okay.
It would be L-O-C-K-E. I'm sorry.
No, it's the connection. It warbles when someone new is speaking. And you live on South Leslie Avenue within a few blocks of the proposal site.
Correct.
Nice to meet you, and thank you for participating this morning.
So I'm not sure if I don't want to drag you off topic, if I'm going beyond the limits of the scope or anything. Excuse my ignorance. My biggest concern, and I didn't hear any speak of traffic studies, is people going in and out of there is already, in my opinion, getting a little out of hand. I have frequent braking events as a result of folks going in and out of there, people blasting out without stopping, no directionals going in. It's almost problematic in the busy times, as far as I'm concerned now. We've been here for 10 years. Should I speak slower or anything?
No, I'm tracking.
Okay. So that's my major concern, the amount of volume of use and how it's going to affect us coming in and out. That's basically my major thing. And, you know, we talk about being a good neighbor, Mike.
Yes.
And you know, I think the consideration of us that have to drive by there to go home every day for 10 years now, that are experiencing already added flow issues in terms of these things, is a great concern to me and my wife and my neighbors who can't chime in here today. So that's hearsay. So I just want to get that on the record if I can.
Mr. Locke, let me ask you a couple of questions about your comment. So I read in the application, the applicant asserts that the majority of their associated road use occurs on the weekends during church services, but also there are school times where I believe it's 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock where they have a majority of their cars described as, or vehicle trips, if you will, coming and going. Is that your experience, or are you talking about something else?
No, and I suspect now that you've said that it's the rush of parents to pick up and to drop off could be what's exacerbating this issue, because they really only care about what they're doing. And that's kind of what's causing issues. And I've thought about going up there and talking to them about if they could enforce a stop sign or something, but I don't know about the uses of stop signs and traffic control on private property and so forth. So, but I have considered going up there and talking to them. And I've talked to them before. I was up there speaking with them when their vans got lit on fire, which was terrible. So I'm sure they have lots and lots of challenges.
Yeah.
I would say we're glad to look into that. I think there's a few things we can do. Sometimes shrubs can block a line of sight. Those can be cut down or removed and put a smaller one in so that people can actually see better. I don't have a problem with putting up a sign that says, please stop and look both ways. Also, we are moving our school hours 1 hour forward so that it's people coming and going before the majority of people get off work from 4 to 6. And that's when 213 is its very busiest.
Oh, excuse me. So is this a difference to your application, sir? You said in your application, your starting and ending times were 8 and 4.
Yes, and that was just changed last week. Last week, the school administration asked if they could do that because it might help with the traffic situation. So I felt like that'd be a good idea. So it would be starting it earlier, so that most of our cars are out of sight when the majority of people are arriving home from work.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Glasgow, does this change your staff report and review of the traffic here?
No.
Okay.
This is, this is not going to have a negative impact.
Okay. And do you have a comment?
We're thinking it should help with the traffic is what we're hoping.
Mr. Glasgow, do you have anything to add about the comments about the traffic here?
Well, I would also hope that will improve, but I'd have to wait and see that. At this point, I can't think of any reason it would make it worse. So no, we're fine. The county's fine.
Okay. And I noted that there wasn't a traffic impact study required. And why was that?
That is correct. Our transportation engineering department did not feel this rose to the level of requiring a full traffic study, and neither did ODOT.
I can ask another question?
Yes, sir.
So in lieu of Mike's comments, are we expecting different traffic event times for this new structure versus the pickup and dropping off at the school?
I think let me address this. Go ahead. What I heard the applicant say is that he's moving the school times. So your experience with people coming and going to do their drop off and pick up of their children would change. I'm assuming that sports is after that, but that
yes.
I think I can infer that not every single student in the school and every parent is affected by that through sports.
Yes.
Not everyone participates. So,
if I can make a final comment in closing, I would just say that sounds to me like we're talking about a bigger window of event of issues, potential issues for traffic. And I'm not so sure that that's an answer and not less of a problem, frankly, in my opinion.
It simply changes the time of the traffic pattern.
Okay.
I understand that, but it's not simply because now we have a bigger window.
I'm not opening this up to a debate between, the general public and the applicant.
So. I apologize. I don't understand.
I didn't direct that only to you, sir. I'd like the comments to be directed to me. And I'll ask questions of the applicant if I have a question of them.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
It's not my intent. It's not my intent to be disruptive.
I didn't say you were, sir.
No, you didn't say. I wanted to make sure
that I understood your comments and that your comments are directed to me. I'm the decision maker here, and I want to hear what your concerns are. And I don't want to make this a debate. Rather, I want it to be an opportunity for you to provide input into my decision making directly. Okay. So I wasn't trying to shut you down. In fact, I would like to hear from you. Did you have something further you would like to add for me to consider?
No, I hope that I've expressed the idea fully and that it can be considered.
Of course. And thank you for your participation in the process.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. Do we have another member of the general public this morning? Use that raise hand feature and let's mute people that are not participating at this time.
Next, I have Lori Kimmel.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Mr. Cox, my name is Lori Kimmel. I have lived at 15121 South Dales Avenue, Beaver Creek, since 1982. And the church was not at that current location when they started in 1984. Our House of Representatives for the State House is James Hebe, and our State Senate representative is Bill Kennemer for that area. And what I'm going to talk about today is regarding the traffic choke point of South Leland Road and Highway 213. And I believe under the county ordinance or building zoning requirements, section 1203.03 Charlie, and I'm going to talk about section 1203.3 Delta and Echo. Right now, I disapprove of this addition. I find several discrepancies and I disagree with the following findings regarding the conditional use permit to add a gymnasium and a family center. My findings are that the Grandview Baptist Church already puts a strain on the only egress from South Leland Road and Highway 13. It adds more congestion and negatively impacts the neighborhoods. I live in Charlottesville Country Estates. Let me explain the traffic choke point. Do we have my slides up there, sir?
I don't see them.
Clay?
Hang on one second. I was almost there. Here it is, Kimmel PowerPoint. Okay. And if you'd like, I will do the clicking between slides simply because I've got Zoom authority to do that.
All right. Well, give me, your given authority and we'll chug along here.
All right, so here we are. Can everybody see this PowerPoint slide?
I do. Exhibit 7. And Exhibit 7 is admitted into the record, and you referenced 8 and also possibly a 9th exhibit. Is that correct?
Yes. Exhibit 8 is the written testimony from Ms. Kimmel, and she may be reading from that and already have presented that, but I'll let her explain that.
Okay.
And she's going to guide me and tell me when to click between slides. So I'm ready to go.
Okay. Slide number 2, please. Right there is South Leland Road and Highway 213. Leland Road is a two-lane road that does not have a designated left turn lane like the applicant specifies. And this is on left turn lane onto Oregon Highway 213. And also, you can see where the arrow is. That is where the church is. And the second arrow is where a lot of times we get traffic flow if Highway 213 is backed up.
Let me back this up a little bit, Ms. Kimmel, and thank you for your participation here. I just want to make sure that I understand what you're referencing. So you're asserting that the applicant is stating in their application that there's a left-hand turn lane there?
Yes, sir.
Where?
That's what the applicant said. Applicant said on Leland.
On what?
No, the left-hand turn's on 213.
Please don't interrupt, sir. I'll provide you an opportunity to rebut. Ms. Kimmel, can you direct me to where I could find that on the application?
I found it in a summary. I believe it was section 2.
Okay, section 2 of the application or section 2 of the staff report?
Section 2 of the applicant's summary.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a note to track that down. It says section 2 of summary references left-hand turn lane and that it doesn't exist. Does that fairly capture it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. On Highway 213, there is a designated left turn lane, but it only is enough room for 3 to 4 cars, depending upon the size of the vehicle.
Wait a second. So there... left-hand turn lane on Highway 213. So there is a left-hand turn lane. It's just small.
It's not on, but it's not located on Leland. It's located on Highway 213.
Oh, okay. Let me change that note because I wrote as 213 instead of Leland. I don't want to go back in my notes and see that there is one, but that's not what you're talking about. Okay. So no left-hand turn lane on Leland.
That is correct, sir.
Okay. And you did say on to Highway 213. I see that now. Thank you for clarifying.
Let me explain the flow pattern. South Leland, can we go back to my slides? South Leland to Highway 213 and South Leland Road to Beaver Creek Road are the only egresses that we have to exit out of the area. The church school traffic use this two-lane road. The school and church, they do not have a bus service. So parents have to use their personal vehicles to pick up their children. The proposed gym designated, let me get back to during the hours of the morning and the evening commute. Commute time for those of us that live there is 0630 to 0900 in the morning and 3 to 6 p.m. in the evening. The school has arranged a staging area for parents to pick up students during the evening commute, which is approximately 1600, right next to that intersection. The cars leaving the Grandview Church parking lot prevent evening commuters from turning left onto Highway 213 onto Leland Road. Because the traffic flow is so congested, there are cars in the way. And when you're turning left from Highway 213 onto South Leland Road, it impacts my neighborhood, Charlottesville Country Estates. And also there is a problem on Sundays too. The traffic is so congested on Sundays that on that intersection, we must use South Beaver Creek Road so that we can get to our place of worship. That leaves one egress for the whole neighborhood. Next slide, please. Also, the church has rented out for commercial uses. This is a picture that I took. This was not during the hours of school, but they were using a truck, having a truck driving school. They were letting them use their premises for that. And also at one point they had rehab meetings for drug addicts and possible known felons. Neighborhood was never notified of that. And these are my concerns that the banquet hall that they propose will be another commercial effort and put traffic right in our neighborhood and make it difficult for us for an egress. And this is a 5-day-a-week operation. And the school has over 100 students. One student told me they have an agreement with the Oregon City High School gym, and the church congestion is over, so at times when they have events, 1,000 members. The school, I correct my slide, is 4 days a week, and church services and other functions on the weekends. The church routinely has outdoor after school and after work functions, which add to the road congestion and noise in our neighborhood. And some of the examples are they had at carnivals, which included a loudspeaker playing all day. This was on a Sunday evening through the evening on a loudspeaker, the Yellow Rose of Texas. And I tried to go find out who was playing that so we wouldn't have to hear it through the whole neighborhood. And I was unable to reach someone. And that's when at that time they had a carnival. And I contacted Bill Kennemer, who was a county commissioner, and he said they did not have a permit for that. I am not a favor of approving the conditional use permit because of many adverse impacts it has on the neighborhood. Who does the gym benefit? It benefits the parishioners. It doesn't benefit the neighbor. In their summary, I'm concerned about a medical clinic that they're proposing. That adds more traffic to the area. And these services are not needed in this area. The proposed facilities do not provide services needed in our rural area, and they are not consistent with rural living. Most of us and a lot of my new neighbors have moved out here to escape the congestion and the crime with Portland. And the building is not consistent with rural living in respect to the size and the appearance of the landscape. There has not been a proper traffic study, noise level study, or load study for South Leland Road and Highway 213. It concerns me that there had been a truck driving school, because that is just a country road that has not been built up for the traffic. Frankly, the church has not been a good neighbor. I strongly encourage you to deny the relevant permits, or at the very least, that the requisite studies be done before making a final determination. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your participation and input. I appreciate that you've provided a great deal of information for my consideration in making determination in this matter. Do we have another member of the general public? Use the raise hand feature if you'd like to participate this morning.
I'm not seeing any more hands. Okay.
At this time, I'd like to provide the applicant an opportunity to provide some rebuttal if you want to take advantage of that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Before COVID, we allowed a truck driving to use our facility just for practicing. We did not get any money from that, any funds from that. We have a large parking lot. We allow the neighborhood to park trucks there that work in the neighborhood. We have members on Dales Avenue. We do have a bus service. We have a bus and two vans that bring children to the school. Although a good number do drive in, we are bringing probably about 80 kids that come on buses. So that cuts it down. During COVID, we had a hard time getting a driver. We have many more that would love to come on buses if we can get the drivers. Ms. Laurie mentioned about not including the community on things like trunk or treat. Right before Halloween, we'll have over 1,000 people from the community that come through. Everything we do for the community, there's no charge to it. People come to activities. We have music. We have a member right across the street from us. We have a pastor right across the street from us. We've never heard any complaints from anyone right across the street from us, and they're the closest neighbors. We have in excess of 1,000 members, but we have about 500 that come every Sunday. So 500 at one time. And so all the members don't show up, or the buildings could not hold the crowd. The left-hand turn can put more than three cars unless you're counting semis. It's just a fact. There'll be five or six or more cars in that coming to a left-hand lane. There is no left turn lane going toward 213 off of Leland. But there is a right-hand turn going onto 213. And so the left-hand lane goes straight or turns left. And I'm not sure ODOT wants a left-hand turn. That is the only access for the subdivision. But on the other side of 213, the subdivisions are three times at least larger than what we have on the east side of Leland. So the Dales area and different. That is a smaller subdivision, but there's much larger amounts, and the golf course itself has hundreds of cars every single day. They've not only filled the parking lot, they fill the street, but apparently there's no problem, you know, from them on that. I understand the traffic problem comes from a church and school. If you go to Beaver Creek School, when it lets out, there's a traffic problem on 213. If you go to Kara School, when it lets out, there is a traffic problem on Highway 213. If you go to Oregon City High School, which has about 2,000 kids going to it, there's a traffic problem on Beaver Creek. But schools usually have a traffic problem 15 minutes getting into school and 15 minutes getting out of school. And beyond that, everyone's gone. So I understand it's a challenge, but we also work to get everyone off of Leland onto our parking lot. And we have a way they snake themselves through so they don't park on Leland. So it is a challenge. I wish, you know, any of these concerns were brought to us personally. We were glad to talk with any of our neighbors about this. But I appreciate Lori's concerns.
And does the county have anything further to add on this topic?
Not at this point, no. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any other rebuttal that the applicant wants to make?
No, I want to thank you so much, Carl, for your time and for this. And we are hoping to move forward. It's something we've looked forward for a long time. Back in 1998, we were approved in the conditional use for a gymnasium. But having built our auditorium, we just did not have the funds to go forward at that time. So now 22 years later, 23 or four, we're trying again.
Well, thank you. Thank you all. I will review my file on this, my notes on this. I will make a written decision, and I'll provide that to the county, which will provide it to each of you. Okay. Any questions before I have a question. Any request to keep the record open following today's hearing?
There's a couple of hands up, but I know we're past that point in testimony, but county staff requests you leave the record open for additional testimony if nobody else does.
All right. Then we'll leave the record open for as follows. I don't see any additional information provided by the applicant, but still 1 week for any party to provide additional evidence, including arguments, testimony in writing to the record, an additional period of rebuttal of 7 periods, and a final period for the applicant to provide a last word on this, unless the applicant wants to just waive that last 7-day period.
I guess I'll waive that based on the opinion. If it's favorable, we'll waive that. If not, we'll want to certainly rebuttal.
I want it to be clear so that the county, when they receive information, knows when to close the record. So I see your point that you don't know if you would want to waive it until you see what the arguments are that are submitted. I'm afraid I need to just ask. I'm just going to leave it open for the full 21 days.
Yes, that'd be nice.
Otherwise.
Thank you.
Okay, so 7 days for all parties, members of the public as well, to submit additional evidence, arguments, testimony to the record, a 7-day rebuttal period, but for all parties, and then a last word meaning only the applicant for the last word. So when you rebut during that second period, no additional new evidence, only addressing evidence submitted during the first 7 days. So members of the public or those who are opposed to the application will have that opportunity to submit their evidence for 7 days, but the second 7 days should only address rebuttal arguments, perhaps legal arguments addressing the criterion in the staff report, or make clear to me what you're basing your argument on. Then a final 7 days, that's only the applicant for to have that last word. Okay, any questions about that? All right. Then with that, I'll close this hearing. Thank you all for participating.
Thank you.
Darcy, would you prefer when I do something like that I actually say the dates? I could pull it out and just say like 7 days means, well, there is no June, well, what's the 16th, the 23rd. Or do you care?
I don't care as long as I have like a specific number of days. I mean,
yeah.
I have a calendar.
It seems pretty clear. It's Thursdays, it's 7 days, bum, bum, bum. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like maybe we should clarify, though, that it has to be received within
by 4 o'clock.
By 4 o'clock.
Okay. I'm going to make a note of that. I thought that when I was saying it, I was like, I'm reading my script here on that and then thinking that just